titled His Commission, Our Mission. His Commission, Our Mission. Because we believe the Lord has called us to the Great Commission, and each one of us here should live our lives with that understanding that everything that I do, ultimately, it's about souls. It's about people coming to the knowledge of Jesus. And I wonder if that is the driving force behind what you do every day in your life. Hallelujah. Now, last week, because it was a special day where we were doing baby dedication, I just felt led by the Lord to teach on parenting a little bit. And this morning, I want to finish off that topic that I began last week, titled Faithful Parenting in All Seasons. Faithful Parenting in All Seasons. Now, let me just rehash a little bit here on what we covered last week. We looked at what is the importance of parents. I'm not going to go through all the details. So we spoke about what is the importance of parents. We looked at, number one, we said parents are God's instrument to promote His eternal purpose in each family. Parents are God's instrument to promote His eternal purpose in each family. If you've got a parent, mom and dad at home, I want you to know God wants to use them to promote His eternal purpose in your life. And sometimes as young people, we tend to have issues with our parents. But I want you to know God wants to use your parents to bring about His eternal purpose in your life. Secondly, we learned that parents are the mediators between God and their children. Okay? Parents are the mediators between God and their children. If you were raised in a Bible-believing family, you'd know that mom and dad would teach you God's word. They would teach you how to pray. They taught you how to deal with difficult situations. Why? They were representing God in your life. Maybe you are in a place where you don't have parents, but I want you to know that God, in one way or another, He will bring people around you who will play the parenting role. And as a pastor, I've come to realize that one of my callings is to reparent. There are many of us who need reparenting. Hallelujah. And it really depends on how willing we are to be reparented. Maybe because we were not brought up in that type of environment. So I want you to know that parents are mediators between God and children. We also said parenting in this current age is very difficult. It's a challenge to be a parent in this time of our lives. Why? It's because there's an intensification of rebellion and perversion. You find that there's intensification of rebellion and perversion. Our children go to school, they get to be taught certain things, and when they come back home, they tend to listen to their teachers more than they listen to parents. It's a challenge that God has called us to deal with. The intensification of rebellion and perversion. Last week I ran out of time, and I was about to get into the responsibilities of parents. I want you to know that when I'm talking about the responsibilities of parents, you as a young person, you as a child, it means that you must have faith and expectations that your parents are able to provide for you. Sometimes we think that other people are better positioned to provide certain things better than our parents. I want you to know that there are certain things that only your mom and only your dad can provide. There is only one dad that you have, and there is a blessing attached to a father that you need. Regardless of what has happened in your life, there is a blessing over a father that him alone is able to confer over your life. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Parenting. So parents, number one, they have a responsibility to provide. Provision. I want you to know that to provide for your family is more than just ensuring that your children have got food, It's more than providing clothing. It's more than providing housing. That is why sometimes as some parents, we think that as long as we've got money to go to school, I've done my duty. Parenting does not stop with ensuring that there's food on the table. It goes beyond that. Parents are also to provide in all areas of life, including spiritual, emotional, social, and intellectual. There are certain things that you must say to yourself as a mom and dad, I need to be the first one to teach my child regarding this. Before your child is taught about sexuality at school, you must say, I want my child to hear this from me first. So that by the time they go to school and they go into orientation classes, already they've got a framework. As a child, as a parent, have you spoken to your little girl as she gets into puberty about periods? I don't know. Because if you don't, they will look for this information by themselves. As a parent to a little boy growing up, and all of a sudden he wakes up and he is erect. And the boy is confused. As mom and dad, have you spoken to him about what's going on in his body? There are things that mom and dad are responsible to break ground for in their child. And sometimes we say, as an African father, I cannot talk to you about this. We need to break certain things because some people missed it because they were never told anything by their parents. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Other version says is worse than a non-believer. I want you to know that providing here, it goes beyond natural things. And you, as you are in relationships, one day is going to bless you with children. I want you to start having a framework in your mind and say, when that time comes, will I be able to be a faithful parent in all seasons? So that is provision. You can see the notion of provision goes beyond just food, bread, and clothes, and shelter. Number two, parents are responsible for protecting their children. Now, protection is more than preserving them from physical harm. You find that we are very good at protecting our children from physical harm, but protection in the eyes of God involves guarding your children from things like sin. How do you guard your children against strife, against idleness, worldliness, evil associations, dishonesty, hate, moral impurity, and anything else that would cause them to become less than what God intended them to be? When we speak about protection, it goes beyond protecting them from physical harm. You can buy a gun to protect your family, but that gun might not protect your child from what they watch on TV. When I talk about parenting in all seasons, also means checking what your children are devouring on their gadgets. And I know that as children grow into different age brackets, they become very sensitive when mom and dad says, I want to check your gadget. Don't back off. You've got to check that gadget. Check what they're watching, because you might think that you've got filters on that gadget, but it might not be good enough. You know, our young people know much better than we do. They can circumvent your filters. Hello? Just barge into their rooms. Just open that door. I've seen certain things happening. But just get into their rooms and say, can I see what you're watching? We have to. That is part of protection. So there's protection, there's preparation, and there's preservation. How do we prepare our children when they move from one grade to the next? How do we prepare our children when they move from high school to varsity? Mom and dad, were you there? Yes, you were there. You took them to the matric dance. But did you take them through a journey of what they're going to face when they go to university? Parenting in all seasons. When you sit down and you talk to them about relationships, you know, there's nothing taboo about talking to your daughter about boy-girl relationships. You have to create a framework for her so that she knows how to respond when somebody comes and says, "Hey girl, I love you." How does she respond to that if mom and dad haven't actually told them? If you don't tell them, I'm telling you, TikTok will tell them everything. And they will respond in line with the standard of TikTok. How are your children being shaped for the next phase of their lives? When they finish varsity, is there mom and dad who tells their children, "Let me talk to you about budgeting. Let me talk to you about how you should handle your first paycheck when it comes." Because a lot of young people, when they finish university, they lose it because nobody ever sat down with them and say, when you receive your first paycheck, it's not the end of the world. You've got to know how to budget. I remember having a conversation with my daughter and I said, let's play a scenario. You earn so much in your first paycheck. You need to remember that you need to pay for your car. You need to pay for the fuel. You need to pay for the insurance. You need to pay for where you are staying. You need to pay for your health. You need to pay for your gym. I will not be paying all that stuff for you. Now, all of a sudden, she realized, well, there's nothing that will be left by the end of the day. And I can tell you now, those of you who are studying, maybe doing your honors, when you get your job, don't go into the job market with too bloated of an idea of how much you're going to earn. If you get a job as an intern that pays you 21,000 rand a month, praise the Lord for that type of a job. I'm talking about when you've graduated with an honors degree from UP. I remember when I finished my honors at UCT, if I tell you what I was earning in 2004, you'll be surprised. There wasn't much. But hey, I was now having a girl in my life and I needed to start saving for Lobola. I was left with nothing. For 18 months, I used to use the train to go to work. I used to catch the truck. You know those trucks that ferry construction workers to go to work? I used that truck from V&A waterfront to the train station to catch a train to go to Salt River. That's where I stayed, in Cape Town. For 18 months, you forget about your degree in certain times because a man has got to do what he has to do. Does somebody hear me this morning? You know, in the coming few weeks, I'll be talking about financial prudence. Financial management. As a child of God, how do you manage your finances? And I'll be touching on some of these things. But here I'm talking about protecting your children against financial ruin when they start working. And children, when mama sits you down and they take you through the processes of budgeting, do yourself a favor and pay attention. Do you know that some people are in debt today after 15 years of working because of what they did in their first 2 years of working? After they got their 21,000 rand, they went and they bought a BMW that cost them 12,000 rand a month on residual value. And today they cannot own a vehicle because there's this balloon payment following them every day of their lives. Foolish decisions soon after school. Parents, we need to protect our children so that they can start better. Hello? Protection. That's a lot there. Now, again, parents, we don't only protect children from all of these external issues, but we protect them from ourselves. Do we protect our children from blatant abuse in homes? You read of stories where fathers and mothers abuse their own children. We've got to protect our children from ourselves. Can your daughter feel safe in your presence? Does your daughter feel safe when you are with her? Does your son feel safe when you are with him? Or your son runs away when you come home. Why? Because you're always angry over the young boy. And whenever he hears you coming, he goes to his bedroom. Why? It's like a lion has walked into the house. Some of us grew in those environments. Whenever daddy comes, everybody runs away. We must protect children from ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Are we getting something this morning? So firstly, parents are to provide. Secondly, they are to protect. And thirdly, they are to train. They are to train. How many of us here would say, "I was trained by my mom how to do this. I was trained by my dad how to start a fire." And I was talking to somebody who says, "I don't know how to start a fire." Something as basic as that. You know, we are responsible of training our children in certain areas. So training involves bringing our children to maturity with all the equipment that they need to become successful. We train children how to conduct themselves in a crowd. Don't just be the yappy yappy guy in the crowd. Don't be the guy who talks all the time. Also take time to listen to people. That takes training. Sometimes you're in a crowd and you look at this guy, you're like, "This guy was never trained etiquette." Did you train your child when you are on a meal table and you've got cutlery around you? Where do you start from? From the outside in or inside out to use the different cutleries? I don't know. Just go read about that. Very, very important basic things that will enable our children to go far in life. Something as basic as when you greet somebody, you shake them and you must give them a fairly firm grip. And you look at them in their eyes and you talk to them. Have you ever been to a place where you greet somebody and they give you the this? "How are you?" No. You don't do that. You've got to teach your children, how do you engage in conversations? How do you disagree cordially? Training children is a massive responsibility that we have. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, young people who are in this place, if you grew up in an environment where you are not taught some of these things, I want you to know there is something you can do for yourself. Look for a mentor. Look for a coach. Look for somebody whom you look at and you're like, this person inspires me. And get closer to them. I want you to know that mentorship will buy you many years. When you are mentored by somebody, you'll be able to save so many years of pain and sorrow. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you are a guy who grew up in a rural area with a strong rural background, I can tell you now there are many things that you don't know. I'm going to give you an embarrassing example about me. I grew up in a very strong rural background, though my parents were teachers, but there were a lot of things that were out of our reach. My mother's brother took me in after my dad died, so to speak. He became a mentor and a father to me. And he was a well-traveled man. And on one of his trips, he came back and he brought a toiletry bag. And in this toiletry bag, there were different types of sprays. One of them was a spray that you spray in your mouth. What you call them? Mouth spray. Mouth spray. Here is a rural boy, and I thought it was a perfume. And I was spraying it under my armpits. Until one day I read, I'm like, eyeball. This thing is a mouth spray. It's already halfway. What a waste. That happened way back in 1990. Thereabout. I'm telling you now, ignorance is not bliss. Let's not walk in ignorance. And therefore, parents, we have a responsibility to train our... These guys are laughing at me. We have a responsibility to say, how do we equip our children for better? So children are born with a mature, with a nature inclined to sin. That is why we need to train them. We need to train them because they are not born without... They are born without knowledge. They don't know better. So it is very, very important that we are forthcoming in terms of educating our children. Let me tell you things like this. You know, there's nothing that crushes my heart as walking into a toilet that hasn't been flushed. Huh? A toilet that hasn't been flushed. Somebody came and they did their business there. And they left it unattended. Pastor Luan, I want you to know, the way you leave your toilet is a reflection of who you are. If you go as a man and you go to the urinal and you spray all over the urinal, it's a reflection of you. Hello? Train up a child in the way that they should grow, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The reason why this person goes and he does his business with a running tummy and they leave the toilet like that, it means they were never trained. It's gross, right? Train up a child in the way that they should go. Train up a child. So are there deficiencies in your life as a young person? You know this whole thing that you eat food and you talk at the same time. Okay, guys, I'm talking about practical theology here. You know, you are you are talking and the mouth is full of omagwinya. You don't do that, right? We don't, but we do it because it's normal. And then when you're done eating, you take your nail, you start flucking your... Etiquette. Train a child in the way that they should grow, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Hallelujah. Am I talking to some parents here and to some young people? Now, if you have those type of things, we can fix it. Train up a child. Let your son bath every night. Your son has to bath every night. Your daughter has to bath every night. Because if you don't tell them, and when they're in college, they won't be bathing every night. And you wonder why some people smell of sweat all the time. What's going on here? This guy was not taught that you don't go to bed without bathing yourself. And they get married, they don't bath before they go to bed. How dare you do that? It has gone over your heads. I'm talking about practical things. If you bath before you go to bed, you sleep in a fresh way. That is if your sheets have been changed in the past 3 days. Some people have got sheets that haven't been changed in the past 3 weeks. If you are the one, please repent. When you go home today, go change those sheets. You know, we talk about airing your bed. When last did you air your bed? You know what we normally do? Cha, cha. Those are sheets. Cha, cha. The whole month. And you get in there, you can't even cover your head. Why? Because it stings in there. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. I pray that as you go home today, you'll be able to reflect and say, you know what? This must change. Hallelujah. Don't say your pastor doesn't tell us the truth. I'm washing my hands right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now,
train up a child. How do you get through to your child? How do you get through to a toddler? How do you get through to a teen? How do you get through to a young adult? How do you get through to somebody who's got children? That's why I'm talking about we've got to be faithful parents in all seasons. You know, sometimes we think that our parenting role has stopped. When you are a grandma, you need to know how to relate to your child who now has a child. There is a way, they still need you, but in a different way. So sometimes we back off, you go home, you visit your child, you see your daughter struggling to change nappies or to remove diapers. What do you do? There's still room for you to contribute. So how do you get through to your child? Now, one of the most difficult things to do as a parent is to get through to your children. Because for your children to understand and appreciate what you're doing, you need to get through to them. You need to understand how to get to them. And a lot of the issues that we have, mothers and daughters, it's about communication. Fathers and sons, it's about communication. It's about how do you communicate disappointment to your children. When you are disappointed by them in one way or another, how do you relate it to them in such a way that they're able to get you? Do you know that some of the rebellion that we have in our children is just because of how we communicate with them? It's just how we pass the message across that is not understood properly. Now, I want you to understand that communication is so vital as a parent. It's vital between you and your child. So your ability to communicate with your child determines the quality of the relationship and what they will become eventually. Do you know that in our African culture, we've got an idiom that says, children are only to be seen and not heard. What you think, I don't really care. Children are only to be seen and not to be heard. So we decide for them. Of course, there's a time where we need to decide for them, but there are times where we need to communicate constructively so that they're able to receive instruction. So how often have we barked out instructions like, jump off the couch, pick that up, stop being mean to your brother, I told you to listen, and nobody is home. Nobody is paying attention. Nobody is listening. This guy continues doing what they're doing. So you need to realize that children misbehave for different reasons. It could be that expectations were never clarified. Parents may have fallen into a pattern of being inconsistent in enforcing certain things. Today you tell her, you're going to sleep at 7. Tomorrow, you can sleep at 9. The following day, you can sleep at 10. Now, I told you must sleep at 7. Now, the kid is confused. Is it 7? Is it 8? Is it 9? How consistent have you been in getting your message across? By definition, effective communication is verbal speech or other methods of relaying information that get a point across. How good have you been in getting your point across? And when we cannot get our point across, we use other means that can be destructive in the life of a child. Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, you'll find that Jesus fully understood what his Father expected of him. There was never a time where Jesus walked in confusion because he did not know what his Father wanted him to do. And I want to ask you a question today. Do your children know exactly what you expect from them? Do you know that when you create a structure and a routine in your house, it becomes a healthy place? Because your child knows, when I come back from school, this is what I do. I bath first before I sleep, because sometimes they take an afternoon nap. Okay, I have a bite. I have supper at 6, and then I start doing my homework from 7 onwards. There must be a structure. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Clear communication. He says, I can tell you now, there's nothing that I do without having seen my Father doing it. Implying that there was a clear demonstration from the Father as to what Jesus was supposed to do. John 12, verse 49. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Very, very important. Some of you who grew up in those environments where mama was very strict, even when you have your own children, you still hear your mama's voice about kitchens, about pots that are staying without being cleaned. You can hear mama's voice. Not in my house. What voice do you hear? For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So when we are able to communicate clearly with our children, when they go to school, guess what? They have a reference point. They are able to say, Mama told me this. If you haven't told them, they've got no reference point. They'll then take up everything. Let me ask you a question. Do you have clear communication lines with your children that enable them to come back home and tell you what has happened at school? Do you know that sometimes our children don't have the liberty to tell us what happened at school? Implying that we don't create an opportunity to actually hear them out. That is why I believe that every healthy family should have set meal times. Especially supper. Whereby as a family you're able to sit down and look at each other's faces and ask each other, how was your day? And then your daughter is able to tell you what was going on at school. Your son or your cousin is able to give you some feedback. In the absence of you having a structure, you will never know what's going on in the life of your child. The reason why some of our children are abused at school and it goes months without end and you don't know, it is because you've never sat down with them on a meal. Very, very important, guys. Parenting is a full-time job. So how do we go about effective communication with our children? Number one, you've got to establish values that shape behavior. Do you have a value system as a family that shapes behavior? A value is important and lasting beliefs or ideals shared by the members of a culture about what is good or bad and desirable or undesirable. When you hear your child, when you hear a kid swearing, I was on holiday with my kids and family a couple of months ago, and my son was playing soccer with these other boys, and I started hearing one of the boys throwing F's. F's. I mean, I'm looking at this kid, he's probably 10, 11, thereabout. And you know what? It was a reflection of where this kid was coming from. The point I'm trying to make here is, as a family, you must have a value system. And as you grow old, as a young person, have a value system that says, this is what I do. If I'm in a relationship, these are the boundaries that I have in my relationships. You must have a value system as a family as to what goes and what doesn't. You must have what we call rules of engagement in your house and say, this is how we speak to one another. And you as mom or as dad, you must stick to the rules of engagement. I don't know if you guys have heard those conversations. If it is just the two of you, do you have rules of engagement on how to deal with conflict? Very, very important. Lasting beliefs and ideals that are shared by your family regarding what is good and what is bad, what is desirable and what is undesirable. I want you to know that if there is a gap in that space, that gap will be filled up by something else. We have a responsibility. So values have a major influence on a person's behavior. You know, this thing of when visitors come, what have you told your children about? What do you do when visitors come? Are your children aware that whenever visitors come, we have a responsibility to go and greet them? I don't know if you've been there where you walk into a house, the kids just run away. You're like, am I smelling? What's going on here? Why are the kids running away? They were never told that whenever people come into this home, they're coming to your home and you must then welcome them. You must then greet them. When you are amongst elders, how do you conduct yourself? Values. When you meet somebody, how do you greet them? If somebody says, oh, you look good, how do you respond? Do you know that there are some people who don't even know how to respond to that compliment? Value system. So defined values come in handy when it comes to ensuring that you are heard when issuing instructions. If you have a value in your house that says, in this house we do, I am sorry. When your child does not say, I am sorry, you're able to say, that's not how we do things here. And they know exactly what you're talking about. So it's one thing to have values, but you've got to articulate them. Let me just read this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. I'm talking about how do you get to your children. And I want to challenge you right now, develop a value system. If you don't have a value system, tonight, husband and wife, sit down and say, what do we value as a family? What do we value as a couple? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you to do shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Talking about a value system. Communicate. You must understand what your value system is. And as a believer, the word of God should become the basis of your value system. If it's not in the word of God, we're not going to do it. If it's in the word of God, we will do it. Let's agree as a family. One day when you come into our house, in our eating area, we've got two posts on our walls. It itemizes some very interesting things there. And I want you to understand that when you do that, it's in the eyes of everybody. And as children conduct themselves, they are reminded of those things. So what is the point? Write down your values. Write down your values. Some families may choose to write them down on a frame, you know, a mission statement for the family. It's important that you do that. Because writing down things bring clarity. It creates opportunity for performance. Now, as parents, we find that having our family values clearly defined will enable us to enforce them. Don't expect your children to obey what they don't know. And you as a young person, when you've got a value system and you have it written and you give yourself to live by it, it will save you a lot of heartache and pain. Examples: respect for yourself and for others. How does that look like? Those are the things that the Bible says, talk about them when you walk about. Talk about them when you lie down. Talk about them with your children. So you say, guys, respect for yourself and for others is a value that we live by. If that means when your child is angry, they need to respond in a respectful way. They can still be angry. Then maybe you tell them, there's nothing wrong with anger. It's how you express the anger. Another one, consider others more than yourself. You're teaching your child to be selfless. Of course, in the process, you need to teach them that they should not be abused in the process of them considering others more than themselves. It's a whole conversation that you need to have, which means that we cannot parent in the absence of conversations. How often do we converse with one another in our families? We don't have time for that. We're too busy. Another value, be the first one to say, I am sorry. I can tell you now, when you go into couples, you find that one of them has difficulties with saying, I'm sorry. One of them. If my eye lands on you, ne? I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying one of you struggles to say, I am sorry. You have to crank. You have to dig. You have to do everything until they say, ah, I'm sorry. But it's not a heartfelt sorry. This person never had this value when they grew up. Maybe. So in the absence of clear guiding principles, our homes becomes chaotic, a war zone. Okay? So write the values down. Secondly, you need to anchor expectations in day-to-day life. Very important. Without realizing, sometimes we think that we are raising angels. We think that our teenagers don't do that type of thing. Not my teenager. Not my varsity students. No, they are special. No, you are lying to yourself. None of us here are perfect. We will mess up in one way or another. And when children mess up, you know what happens? We feel embarrassed. We lose it when they stumble over themselves. Kambe, children are clumsy. They are children. Children are children. Does somebody hear me this morning? So you need to have a healthy view of what is normal behavior in every stage of growth. Let me give you a couple of examples. So a two-year-old, it's okay for a two-year-old to get upset if he doesn't get something he wants. It's a two-year-old, right? It must be anchored in realism. Don't expect a two-year-old to behave like a six-year-old. Can't. It's normal for a three-year-old to lose it if there's a change in his bedtime routine. It's normal for a five-year-old to daydream in the middle of a soccer game. Don't scream at the kid. That's what they do. So understand it. When they daydream, so they are standing there. My guy, you're playing soccer, but he's looking. He's the goalkeeper. I don't know if you've seen that. He's a goalkeeper, and the guy is like, and he's touching the net. She's like, no, you are the goalkeeper. Expect it, but I've seen dads losing it on a five-year-old who's daydreaming. That's what they do. It's normal for a 12-year-old to be moody. It's normal. It's normal for a teenager to be irresponsible every once in a while. It's normal for a young adult to wanting their independence. Maybe they're not phoning you as often as they used to. They're just trying to, they're marking their territory. They're saying, I want to be able to make my own decisions without you looking at me as a chopper mom. You know, a mom who always looks over, hovering over their children. Now you've got a kid who is in varsity and they're trying to create that gap. Give them that opportunity. They will come back. Because I'm telling you, when this young person in varsity hits a hard knock, they'll come knocking. They'll come asking for input. But when they are trying to assert themselves, don't see it as being rebellious or being disrespectful. Allow them the space. It'll be good for you. Some relationships are destroyed at that point of transition. Your son is now married and you want to treat him as a 16-year-old boy. You're going to have issues with his wife. Don't do that. He's your son, but he's somebody else's husband now. So when you come into the house, don't talk to him like you're talking to a 21-year-old boy, man. Now he's a father, maybe he's got a kid already. So the conversation's got to be different. And this is what our young adults are expecting from their parents. And I can tell you that if we give them room, they'll come back asking for advice. They want to be given the opportunity to solicit advice from you. Sometimes we give advice which hasn't been asked for. We then need to know what is our place and draw certain lines. If you come into your daughter's or into your daughter-in-law's kitchen, remember it is your daughter-in-law's kitchen. Do not change where her pots are. Do not change her meal plan. Do not change what she does. It's her kitchen. Can somebody say amen to that? Practical theology. The reason why mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws fight, it is this thing. Where they can't see eye to eye regarding how the pots should be positioned. Hey, what was that? Okay. Does somebody hear me this morning? So when you come to my house as my mother, allow my wife to be the mother in the house. It's her house. That is why I don't understand. I don't know how they do it when a son comes in and moves with his mother and he's got a wife. Okay, let's leave it there. Okay. So another issue is expectations must be preceded by relevant training. You have no right to expect your child to do what you haven't trained them to. Does somebody hear me this morning? Don't expect it if you haven't trained it. It's not going to work. Now, I've got so much here, but let's go down to how do we... So I've got some questions here which I'm not going to cover. Why do we train children? Well, they don't know better, you know. How do we do it? Okay, I want to just touch on that a little bit as we finish. Okay. How do we get to train our children? It's important that we give them age-appropriate chores to accomplish each day. We need to give our children age-appropriate chores to accomplish each day as they grow in the different phases. Now, it's amazing that you then get a grade 11 who does not know how to cook. Okay, I'm just saying, just think along with me. Just think this with me. Grade 11 don't know how to do a basic meal. Soon they're going to university. They're going to go into digs, into res. How are they going to survive? Encourage your children to take initiative in helping beyond the chore list. Let's encourage them to take initiative. Now you see, as you are training the little one, it's often faster and easier for you just to straighten up their bed, isn't it? Ah, let me just do it. You go in there, ta ta ta, you fix the bed. But I want you guys to adopt an approach that says, let's do it together. Do it with them. Do it with them. And as you do that, you are able to reinforce certain things. So training includes repetition. Training includes gentle correction. Training includes practice before children can succeed. I'm telling you guys, we need to do that. So as you train your child, don't aim for perfection, but aim for them to do their best. Okay? Let's move on. When and how to correct, okay? This is the whole issue. We need to be able to correct our children. I've got a statement here that says, love plus discipline equates to a happy, functional child. Love and discipline equates to a happy, functional child. Very, very important. Hallelujah. So, you've got to be consistent in your discipline. You must discipline your child when you are tired. Discipline them when you are preoccupied. Discipline them when you are frustrated or angry. Discipline them when you would rather be relaxing and watching rugby. Apply the same measure for the same offenses for the different children. You know how children, as they grow older, you're like, no, I did the same thing and my punishment was heavier than he is getting. How so? Make it make sense to me, Mom. Make it make sense to me. I did exactly the same thing, but he got lesser of a punishment. We create problems for ourselves when we do that. Okay? You need to create capacity that enables correct behavior. And when you do that, you are able to reinforce the behavior. Why? Because you have created capacity that enables them to do the right thing. Now, I've run out of time. I've got so many. I've got guidelines on how to train and how to correct. If you want them, talk to me and I'll give you my notes. But I want us to stop here for now. I'm sure you got enough. As parents, as children, as young people, I want you to know the ultimate parent is God the Father. If we can open our hearts to God the Father, I want you to know He will do exactly what I'm talking about, because these things are learned from Him. He trains us. He corrects us. He disciplines us. He gives us time to make certain decisions. He says, I lay before you life and death, but I suggest that you choose life. So God does exactly the same thing. And I want you to know that there is what we call consequence management as we parent our children. We must never break the principle of sowing and reaping. If your child has done something wrong, there must be a consequence and there must be a follow through. Just like Father God, who says, I will, as long as the sun remains, there will be seasons of sowing and seasons of reaping. And in our lives, I want you to know, we cannot break the sowing and reaping principle. And sometimes as parents, the reason now our children go off the rails is because we cut in on the principle of sowing and reaping. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. As we stand on our feet this morning with our eyes closed, I want to pray for two groups of people. I want to pray for parents. I want to pray for parents this morning, for the grace and the anointing to be faithful parents in every season. There are some parents here who need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, because there are some things that you haven't done, and right now you've got to deal with the repercussions of that. But I want you to know that God is faithful. God is gracious and is able to come through for you. I also acknowledge that there are parents who are single parents who are fulfilling the role of both mom and dad. I want you to know God is faithful. God is able to give you strength and wisdom to be a faithful parent. With every eye closed, I want to pray for parents right now. If you are a parent, I want you to just open up your hands like this. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want you to know, Father God is counting on you. Father God is counting on you to bring about the destinies that He has entrusted you with. I want to pray for parents as well who look at their children and you are worried about what your children will become. I want you to know that children in the hands of God will become what God has called them to be. It doesn't matter, even when it feels like your child might not be able to do much, but I want you to know when you hand that child in the hands of God, the Lord is able to use that child for what He destined him or her for. And so, Father, even right now, I pray for every mom, every dad that has lifted their hands. I pray, Father God, for the spirit of wisdom as their parent. Father, in the name of Jesus, some of them are fearful as parents. They feel that they have lost it. They cannot change certain things in the lives of their children. Today, I pray for a shift and a change, O God of heart, regarding their place as parents. I pray that every parent would know that you called them as an instrument to bring about eternal destinies in the lives of their children. Father, I pray that you give these parents wisdom, Lord. Even those who are playing the role of mom and dad in this season, I pray that you give them wisdom, Lord. You give them understanding. You give them insight on what they need to do in every season of their children's lives. I pray that, Father, you'd send destiny helpers in those situations, Lord. Send father figures, oh God. Send mother figures, oh God, to help them along the way so that they know that they are not alone and that you are with them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for every parent who has been standing with their children in difficult seasons. Father, I pray that you give these parents strength and courage to remain faithful. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for these parents who allowed you to use them, oh God, to bring about these children. Father, we give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, before we sit down, I want to give you an opportunity right now. You are here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to know God. I need to